Welcome back to the American Journal website. You're all on board with us today. Oh, man. When you dig in through all of the information about how bad the lawfare was under the Biden regime, you find a lot. You find a lot. And unfortunately, there's not much being done. I mean, I'm not going to oversell it. There's not much being done. All we're doing is getting these little snippets of, wow, look how bad things were. Look at what they did. All right. Well, that's it. It's rage bait. It's rage bait. John Solomon dishes it out, too, as well. And he's got a great report that he just dropped in clip six in regards to how the deep state operatives targeted President Trump and his allies. Take a listen.
Hang on. You're telling me that they found cash in the team? And I assume you're telling me they found a fourth targeting of President Trump by the deep state?
Yeah. And it's a very serious one because it seems to involve speech delimiters. In other words, if you said something or you spoke a certain way about a certain issue, potentially were deemed a national security threat to the United States, and you were put under an assessment and potentially criminal investigation. So I learned of this operation because I was targeted in 2022. I had to cooperate with the Justice Department when the Justice Department and I talked, they realized that their entire theory of the case was ludicrous. But as a result of that, I've been on a 2.5-3 year mission to get these documents, to get the truth out about what happened. Recently, FBI agents working for Kash Patel found this operation, found the skiff that it was hidden, found the code word name for it, found the prohibited access files. So one of the things that Chris Ray's people did is they would start these political investigations targeting Trump or even someone else. They would keep it off the books. Most people could not see it in the FBI Sentinel system. This one was one of those well hidden as a result of some senior leadership that worked around Kash Patel. You know, there were people that were in this era that knew what was going on. In some cases, maybe even been required to work on certain things. They knew what was going on, and they've been guiding Kash Patel to these records and helping him find these records in the labyrinth of secrecy that Chris Ray's FBI created. So these senior executives are really helping uncover some really jaw-dropping stuff. And I think in the next couple of days, people will see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, folks, we keep hearing this story time and time again that this is what they were doing behind the scenes. We know this. I mean, I was the one who reported to you guys exclusively when Tulsi Gabbard was added to the TSA terror watch list. You know, other outlets had the information. They refused to run it. I had the cojones to do just that because they didn't want to go after these deep state operatives. They knew exactly what was going to happen if they decided to swing first. They're all a bunch of cowards. But let me tell you something. All the people who complied over at the FBI with whatever the regime was telling them to do, they are too cowards. This is the reason why it's so important to push back. This is why it's so important to stick together. Because when we saw things that were happening behind the scenes, when I saw that shortly after Tulsi Gabbard went on Fox and was outlining how Kamala Harris was a threat to this country, and then she was quickly the next day added to a TSA terror watch list, we knew we had to go forward with this. I knew I had to call Tulsi Gabbard's team to let them know before reporting this. And again, that was brought to you by Brave Whistleblowers, who came forward and reached out. We connected them to the law firm that was representing them so they weren't going to get in legal trouble. And then we brought you the story. It's one of the many layers to the Biden regime's corruption. And again, no one's being held accountable. No one. No one. And we're well over 1 year into this. And still, I got nothing for you. No surprise there. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now, theoxjonesstore.com. The t-shirts, America 250 shirts, well, those are on sale right now. They're the limited edition shirts that are 60% off right now. They're normally about $40, but they're actually $14.99. So you got to stop what you're doing. Head on over to theoxjonesstore.com and make sure you snag this before it's too late. This sale ends on Friday. Now, it's not just that. We also have our March mega sale going on right now. It's up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements, which include MK Ultra, CMOS gummies, Life Force, Ultimate Burn, NAD Plus, and Methylene Blue as well. Head on over right now, thealkstonestore.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAuctionStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. You know, there's many layers to federal overreach and our government agencies overreaching and going above and beyond their authority. And I thought this was interesting. You guys know we have Anne VanderSteel on the show quite often. Well, she's got a book that's coming out, and it's detailing the overreach that goes on with CPS. But it's not just her. It's also her co-author, Maureen Steele, who's joining us right now. And I'm excited to have Maureen on the program today to walk us through their latest book. It's the CPS Pipeline, State-Sanctioned Kidnapping. Now, this is going to be really interesting, folks, because there's numbers that I didn't even know. And I'm excited to have Maureen on right now joining us because, you know, Anne VanderSteel told me that CPS gets about $81 billion annually. She also told me that the U.S. Child Welfare Services, the amount of the kids that they actually have, it's a little less than a half a million right now currently in the foster care systems. I believe the last that last data came out back in 2019, but Maureen knows it better than I do, and she's joining us now to discuss what's going on behind the scenes over at CPS. And it's an honor to have you on the program today. Thank you for being here. You know, you and Anne put this book together, and it looks like a great read, and I'm really excited for this one. You guys are walking us through the corruption that's going on behind the scenes over at Child Protective Services. Help us out with that one a little bit. What was some of the most outrageous information that you found throughout your investigation?
Well, obviously the numbers, you know, the Adoption and Safe Families Act, Brianna, that was put together by Hillary Clinton back in the 90s and signed into law by Bill Clinton, that really is what monetized this whole system. And this is really when it really started going sideways. So for me, learning that it's an industry, you know, an $80 billion a year industry is what it is. And it chews up and it devours families and it traffics children. For me, that was staggering. And then also talking to some of the CPS whistleblowers, our next book is about whistleblowers and the behind the scenes information that they've given us. And one of them is that they are taught to suppress abuse information when it comes to foster care. So they'll take your children off of false allegations from good families, put the children in foster homes where they're abused. And then when that abuse comes to light, they are taught to suppress that. So that for me, was the most astonishing and disheartening and disgusting and just alarming. Our children are getting devoured by an agency that, you know, is there to help. And, you know, they're not helping at all. This is a system designed to, you know, eat them alive.
Yeah, well, I kind of want to walk through all of this because obviously there are some parents that are unfit to be parents, and there needs to sometimes be the intervention of those kids being pulled out of the homes. But there are the cases that you just kind of detailed and walked us through, and it's not necessary that these parents need to lose custody of their children. Have you spoken to these parents that have been in the custody battle with CPS? What's some of the details behind that those cases?
Well, there's so many cases, and there's so many different circumstances that children are taken in. But what is consistent across the board is family courts, just denial of due process. Family courts in and of themselves, right on their face, are unconstitutional. They're sealed. There's no jury of your peers. You can't remove someone's property without a trial by jury. They're taking your child, your most precious possession, your DNA, without even a hearing, all based on hearsay. There's no other courts that accept hearsay. CPS will remove your child with no hearsay, all based on lies. And you know, your neighbor doesn't like that you move the fence, and they're going to call CPS on you. And at that moment, your life instantly becomes a living hell, and you're going to be involved in it for a minimum of a year, maybe years. Maybe you'll never see your child again. But best case scenario, it's usually about a year till you get your child back. But the damage is done. That breaks the mother-child bond, the family bond. It traumatizes the children to a point that the child they took is not the same child you're getting back. That child now has been, you know, irreparably emotionally harmed. And that's the other piece that isn't, that we don't touch on in this book, but I will be doing it in subsequent books. The piece of the neurological damage that's caused from children in deep trauma, brains simply don't form right anymore. So not only is CPS an agency that isn't helping, it's an agency that's actively causing harm. And to just to put this in a little bit of perspective, Brianna, that you mentioned, you know, there are some children that need to be removed. Agreed. But that is few and far between. 85% of all the complaints that come into CPS are unfounded. They will take those kids and then they'll hold on to them for a year and then decide it was unfounded. And no one is ever held accountable for that. There's no punishment for that. Parents just go through hell. They lose hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to fight this. They have to deal with the stigma of it for the rest of their lives. You know, that is a terrible success rate. In Boston, Massachusetts right now, 1% of, you know, the over a million children in a very small state like that that are involved with CPS, 1% have been taken legally, lawfully, and for just cause. That is a failed system, not a failing system, a failed system.
Yeah, Maureen, I kind of want to dive into the numbers a little bit because I think it's interesting in the book. Again, this is the CPS pipeline book that you guys are releasing right now, and it's available on Amazon for our audience if you want to take a deep dive into this. But specifically, you're talking about the financial incentives also that are involved in all of this. Can you walk us through what those might be?
Sure. Chapter 3 of the book discusses the financial incentives. And like I said, it was the Adoption and Safe Families Act that really brought this forward, you know, really incentivized and monetized children's heads. But, you know, the adoption bonuses came out, and I actually wrote down some of the figures so I wouldn't get them wrong. Texas got $9.4 million in 2020. Florida got $8.7 million, and Arizona got $6.1 million. And this was extra bonuses for adopting children out. And that's what Adoption and Safe Families Act did. It narrowed that window when you take a child to, you know, letting the parents jump through all the hoops that CPS sets for them. They don't give the parents enough time to do that. And of course, these classes are expensive. Parenting classes, you know, child visitation centers, all of this stuff costs thousands of dollars. You have all these court hearings. You're trying to work to pay for these classes. And so parents miss things. And then your child is just gone. So they set you up to fail. In 2023, for another example, New Jersey allocated $300 million to private contractors. And so when I say private contractors, that would be, you know, your county social workers, you know, therapists, doctors that work there, these parasitic agencies that work around CPS. They earmark $300 million for that. So in this system, there's no one incentivized to say, oh, Maureen Steele, she's a great mom. Give her kids back. There's nothing here. Everyone is incentivized to find something wrong with you to hold on to your children. And they keep lowering the threshold for that. It's not that this child has been neglected and beaten and abused and starved. And if we don't remove this child, death is imminent here. That's not why they remove them. They'll remove them because, well, we did a documentary called Taken State Sanctioned Kidnapping. And this is the Rivera case. And this is a very compelling case. A 9-month-old was brought in for a 9-month well child visit. We're all parents. We know, you know, you take your kid in, you're a good mom. See, they're growing properly. They're developing properly. They're, you know, what percentile, growth percentile they're in. And this Dr. Gohafar at Fitchburg Pediatrics said you need to give him a vitamin K shot, which they had already refused at birth. The father said, no, we already refused it at delivery. There's no blood clotting problem with this child. And he said, if you don't get it and you're neglectful, I'm going to file a 51A on you with CPS. And he followed through on that. That family lost all five of their children For 10 months. And we followed that story. We did a documentary on it. And it's a harrowing story. And it just destroyed this family for 10 months. These kids are undoubtedly still traumatized by this. When you lose the fact that your parents can't protect you, and as parents, you can't protect your children, you are absolutely helpless up against this machine. And that's what Ann and I are here to stop. That's why we came up with the United Law Coalition, comprised of hundreds of lawyers across the country, to help push back on these judges, CPS workers, and these parasitic organizations that falsify records. That was another shock, Brianna, to have piles of CPS documents. And the Rivera case is one example. All throughout their own records, their internal notes, they're writing that the father, Izzy Rivera, had a serious mental health problem, not a mental health concern, a serious mental health problem. They keep saying that, yet they never define what it is. Like, he's schizophrenic, he's, you know, bipolar, what is it? And they never define it. And so I had asked Izzy when I finally got all these notes and I read them, I said, Izzy, have you ever been diagnosed with a mental health disorder? He goes, Maureen, I've never even been to a therapist. He was a life coach. You know, so they lie on these so they can go to court and they can get ex parte orders from judges that don't do any digging. They just rubber stamp whatever the agency puts in front of them and says, take those kids. And this is the Rivera family. It just popped up. It's a beautiful family. And we also have, you know, a harrowing audio the mother sent us, their oldest son, who was 10 when he was taken, screaming and crying. And it's the most heart-wrenching audio you could ever possibly hear. Mommy, mommy, take me home. Mommy, why am I here? Mom. And these parents can't do anything. And if you're a parent yourself and you hear your child screaming for help, mommy, come get me, to not be able to do it, to have to tell your child, I can't. They don't understand why, and neither do the parents, because this is a good family and their rights were violated. Their due process was violated. This case in particular crossed state lines. They went to Texas to try to get away from the harassment. They had never been served that the children were being taken. And again, they lied on paperwork and told Texas that these parents were abusive and had stolen the kids. How can you steal your own kids? And so because this agency is so powerful, and there's so many other agencies that are involved, including sheriffs and law enforcement, that just do whatever CPS tells them to do and violate their own oaths because they're supposed to be upholding our rights, not, you know, in being in cahoots with an agency to violate our rights. You know, they just assist in, you know, in the destruction of the American family. And the American family is the backbone of society. And, you know, you can see where our society is right now. It's not in a good place. And so we need to restore the family. We certainly cannot make America great again without having, you know, the American family great again.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, I think most Americans could get behind that, because that is something that is one of our core issues here, especially on this show, is trying our very best to restore the American family. Because, again, we were under attack for so many generations, even before my lifetime. And now we're watching it as it's endless. I mean, most parents sadly have to work two jobs or multiple jobs. They're never home. There's no family dinners. I mean, that's something that we grew up in my house. I'm one of seven kids. Mm-hmm. We grew up every day. My dad would come home from work. We'd all sit at the table. We'd eat dinner together. No phones, no nothing. And sadly, that's something that's just not practiced all around the country. And I think that's having a drastic effect on those the other kids who are being raised in this country right now. And it's really devastating to watch. You know, Maureen, I kind of want to end on like a happier note. How do we fix this issue? What can parents at home do? But most importantly, how do we fix the institution itself? Because if someone, let's say, if there's a child out there who has a mother who's an avid drug user, an alcoholic, abusive, you do kind of want an intervention there. But again, there's a lot of steps that needs to take place before you get to that point, because you don't want to cause harm to the child's development. So how do we resolve all of this?
Sure. I think it all needs to go back to the states. I think a CPS needs to be abolished. Mm-hmm. It's too big. It's too corrupt. And family courts need to be abolished. What we need is, you know, we need the village back. You know, we need families back. I mean, if you have an adult child who, has children, and your adult child has a drinking problem. I mean, they need help. They need advocacy. They need to get into AA. They need to go detox. They need support. They don't need their child ripped from them. And again, just because a parent is an alcoholic, or, their kids are outside playing without a jacket. Maybe they don't have money for a jacket. What CPS will do is spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of our tax money, taking a child, putting them in foster care, traumatizing that child, devastating that child to a point where, as an adult, they probably won't be a functioning member of society, when they just could have bought a jacket. Just help mom, send in a therapist to help mom, sober up. And so, that should be an absolute last resort, removing a child from a home. And if you have to do it, it absolutely should go to grandma, grandpa, an aunt, a trusted friend, a neighbor, to keep the child safe, but still with familiar people, not with strangers. I mean, during COVID, Brianna, this is another staggering figure. When they did emergency removals of children, they were paying over $2,000 a night to put children in foster care. So these foster parents, you'd like to think some of them are doing it, out of goodness and to help children and from the bottom of their heart. But unfortunately, as I said earlier, when you start monetizing things, people are doing it for the money, and the children aren't given the care that they deserve and need, especially in a traumatic situation that they're in, just being removed from your home and from your parents, from a school, from a state. Sometimes they'll cross state lines, which again is a total is a total deterrent to reunifying that family, because the children now don't even see their parents to visit. So what we need to do is abolish it. We need accountability, and I know we talk about that all the time in this country, but that's what needs to happen. When you are violating people's rights, under color of law, removing their rights under color of law, that's a crime. And, people need to be prosecuted for that crime. Falsifying records is a crime. And everyone just looks the other way on this. Stripping people of their unalienable rights is a crime, and that can't be let go. So that's where we are with the United Law Coalition. We want to bring lawsuits, and we are bringing lawsuits. We have a federal lawsuit in Massachusetts. That's where we're starting. This Rivera case was the impetus for that, to go after these people in their personal and professional capacities for deprivation of rights under color of law and falsifying records. You simply can't do it. So without the accountability piece, it isn't going to change. And people need to educate themselves. Buy our book, CPS Pipeline, State Sanctioned Kidnapping. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes and Noble. It's written in a way that it is an interesting read. It is a quick read. It's like a primer to get people to understand what's happening. You can do a deeper dive on it later. But we wrote it so that it's just a quick, easy read, and it gives people the information very quickly and in a manner in which it's easy to digest. It's still hard to read, because it's so disturbing that we as a nation could get to this place where our agencies are literally stealing our children out from under us, and our justice system is aiding in that. And I often say that these family law attorneys are nothing but criminals in black robes, and I believe that. I believe that's what every single one of them is. They know they're depriving people of their rights. They know they're rubber stamping, what an agency is saying without looking into it. And the Chevron deference was overturned in July of 2023, and they're not allowed to do that anymore, and they just ignore it. So, we need to get better at supporting each other and helping each other. And towns and states need to come up with, we need to come up with better solutions than CPS to aid our neighbors and our families when they are having a family crisis. Because CPS is not the answer. That is causing more harm and more problems, and it's feeding the beast, feeding into that money-making machine, that we've really learned that most of our agencies are involved in.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, the book is called The CPS Pipeline, It's State Sanctioned Kidnapping. That's available right now on Amazon for folks at home who want to make sure you grab yourself a copy. And again, it is co-authored by Anne Vandersteel, Christopher Burns, as well as Maureen Steele. Maureen, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for bringing us information. We greatly appreciate it, of course. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Brianna.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Folks, again, make sure you grab that book on Amazon if you're interested in learning more about CPS and the internal corruption going on there. I learned a lot, and I learned a lot there from both Maureen and Anne. So it's an honor, of course, to have her on the program today. All right, I want to bounce around a little bit and bring you some other news. It looks like President Trump has officially rejected the assertion of the executive privilege over a set of documents requested by the Senate committees. And it's a part of the multi-layered investigations going on right now. In a letter to the White House counsel, to the National Archives and Records, Trump determined that upholding the privilege claim is not in the best interest of the United States and directed the release of the material to Congress. Now, specifically, I'm looking to see what they're talking about here in regards to. So it has to do with a dispute of the records regarding the probe that's going on right now into Joe Biden's health, his cognitive decline, the cover up itself, including the AutoPen scandal, as well as Biden's family financial dealings. So those are the documents that the Trump administration will not provide executive privilege over, which is fair because, you know what, F them. You know, when it was Trump, Joe Biden had no problem throwing him under the bus for his political persecution and not allowing him to insert privilege in any of that, and had no problem handing over that information, which later resulted in the lawfare that you saw taking place all across the country. So not surprised there, folks. I actually just got an update, and I just posted it quickly over on X in regards to that CNN post that I was talking about. Now, CNN went around using the term Islamic terrorist, and they wrote this like nice little fluffy thing about how those two Islamists, the alleged Islamists, we should say, who were allegedly threw two homemade explosive devices into an anti-Muslim invasion crowd of protesters. Well, they decided to like make it as fluffy as possible and just go around the fact that the authorities are currently saying that this was an ISIS-inspired attack, went completely around all of it. Now they've officially deleted that tweet, and CNN came out and said a post regarding two individuals arrested for throwing homemade bombs outside of a New York City protest, or alluding to the one that happened at Madani's home, which belongs to the people, not him, failed to reflect the gravity of the incidents. And therefore, due to their editorial standards, whatever those are these days, they required to report on it fairly, I guess they want to say, and then also they deleted it. I mean, absolute hot mess, absolute garbage coming out of CNN. They obviously knew what they were doing. This was all intentional, and they're over here sitting here pretending like, oh, just deleted it. We're trying to be transparent, folks. Yeah, transparency doesn't exist over at CNN. They're all a bunch of liberal hacks trying their very best to destroy this country. So it makes sense, the fact that they're not going to tell, even in their correction, their audience, that these were alleged Islamic-inspired terror attacks. Again, these individuals, according to authorities, traveled outside of the United States, Saudi Arabia, and I believe it was Turkey was the other country that they went to, where they became inspired by ISIS. Again, those are their reports. But CNN's not going to tell you that. Because why would you want to piss off your own fellow jihadists? All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a moment. We got a lot to dive into regarding the DHS partial shutdown that's going on right now. If you're heading to the airport, well, you're going to want to watch this because there's a lot that I have to warn you about right now as you head in to possibly sit on those TSA lines. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. We have our March mega sale going on today, up to 40% off on all of your favorite supplements over at the shop. Plus, for a limited time only, it ends on Friday, we have 60% off the America 250 t-shirts going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together, that's all of us, against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigly. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring. Or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here with us right now. All right, we got a lot more to dive into. I'm really excited for the third hour of the program, though. In case you didn't know, Raheem Kassam will be joining us in a little bit, third hour of the program. Also, Sonia Labosco. It's going to be my John Cornyn hour of the program. There's so much to dig into regarding Cornyn and how much of a horrible human being he is. So I look forward to talking about that with both of them. Now, both are doing incredible work. As many of you know, we have Sonia on the program quite often. And Sonia actually was trying to get legislation pushed through on a federal level to protect law enforcement after five Dallas police officers were assassinated here in Texas. It was obviously something that caught headlines. I believe it's been over a decade now. She actually worked with Cornyn's office and met with John Cornyn. And, well, you'll be surprised as to how that experience went for her. She'll be joining me to expose just that. Also, Raheem Kassam has done an incredible job over at the National Pulse. I can't even talk today. The National Pulse exposing. It's no different than any other day. Exposing the truth in regards to Cornyn and the rhinos behind him, trying to push him forward as President Trump's pick for the U.S. Senate here in Texas. It's a lot going on. We'll dive into it in a second, but that's the third hour of the program. But there's still more that I want to talk about. Specifically, though, I want to focus in on this. The SAVE Act, obviously, it's the Save America Act. President Trump has been hyper-focused on pushing it through, and that's why John Cornyn and those of his rhino allies over in the Senate won't put it up for a vote as of yet. They're actually trying their very best to hold it up because they want the president to back Cornyn. Cornyn, someone who's never backed President Trump, actually bashes him all the time. It's like endless with the knife turning in the back of President Trump when it comes to John Cornyn. But now he needs a favor, and so they're willing to hold out as much as possible because they don't want to lose to Ken Paxton. Now, those rhinos in the Senate are afraid of Ken Paxton because Ken Paxton's a rhino hunter. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That guy goes out there all the time, files these lawsuits against these big corporations that are scumbags, and challenges them constantly. So they don't want him in the U.S. Senate. But Texans do. And so right now we have a group of individuals trying to tip the endorsement scale when it comes to President Trump. But I want to walk you through it because they're lying to you about the Save America Act. And Jimmy Kimmel, who's not a very funny person, but he claims to be a comedian, he likes to go out there and push those same lies. That's the reason why he's still on air. You know, if you comply with the deep state operatives and their mission, they will allow you to have a cable news show or a cable show that even though it's supposed to be a comedian hosting it, it's not actually funny. Take a listen to clip 8 and how Jimmy Kimmel is lying to the American people.
Trump wants to make it as difficult for Democrats to vote as he possibly can under the guise of stopping voter fraud, even though there is no meaningful voter fraud. There is no evidence that anyone can. More Americans were eaten by wolves last year than voted fraudulently. This is about fixing the election. He made a big mess in Iran. It looks like we bombed a school and he's lying about it. There are 3-hour lines at the airport because Democrats want ICE agents to follow the same rules every other law enforcement officer has to follow. His poll numbers are abysmal. The price of gas is going through the roof. And, of course, there's that little matter of those allegations in the Trump Epstein files. And so to protect himself from losing the Senate and the House and probably getting impeached, he wants to change the rules of voting to make it more difficult for everyone, especially women, to vote. If this passes, you won't even be able to mail your ballots. And unless you're in the military, sick, disabled, or overseas, you will have to stand in a line to vote, even though he himself votes by mail.
Let's debunk the nonsense that's going on right now. We've got this photo of an individual who was actually just arrested for Jimmy Kimmel told he doesn't actually exist. This announcement coming from DHS yesterday. ICE and the FBI arrested Mohadi Sacco. He's an illegal alien who has been told to get the heck out of our country for quite some time now, up to 2 decades ago, and he refused to leave. Now, what does this all have to do with this? Why am I bringing him up? Well, he was just actually arrested and charged with voter fraud. Why? Well, because allegedly he was in Philadelphia and he decided to weigh in on our elections, the 2008 elections. So, yeah, he shouldn't be in this country in the first place. And it looks like, according to DHS, that he actually did vote in our elections. He is an illegal alien. He is one of the many examples of illegal aliens weighing in on our elections. So Jimmy Kimmel is going to tell you, oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. There's no voter fraud. But the reality of it is he's full of it. He knows he's full of it. And that's the reason why he won't have anyone on his show to dispute him. He's incapable of having an open debate and being able to back up his claims because, number one, the only reason why he's still on air is because he complies with the narrative. This is what happens. If you comply, if you don't push back, if you spew the lies the deep state wants you to push out there, you're safe. You still got to keep your cushy little job, even though your ratings are through, well, the ground. I don't even know how to describe that one. He is not someone who's funny. He doesn't pull in an audience. He's absolute garbage. And he continues to lie. And the lies were endless in that. The price of gas. Don't they love to talk about the price of gas going up now? Now, listen, I love a good cheap gas. I love good cheap gas. That's not even a proper sentence. I love cheap gas. But guess what, buddy? When gas prices were at their lowest lows, it was Jimmy Kimmel talking about on his show. Absolutely not, because he can't give the president a single victory. Instead, though, he has to try to go out there and throw daggers at BS claims and hope something sticks. The gas price is going up. Yeah, it's a problem. But under Joe Biden, guess what? They were significantly higher. So shut up. Also, to sit there and talk about women. Women won't be able to vote. Women won't be the worst thing to happen in this country. But guess what? Women will be able to vote. Again, it's this fear-mongering campaign. They're hoping that whoever's watching their show is going to buy into all of this, create fear in the women, their female audience, I should say, in their hearts. Absolute garbage. And then he also mentions the Epstein files. Again, President Trump is not being named in the Epstein files with anything legitimate. It's all false claims. or politically motivated, given the timeline that they were went to the FBI to report something that wasn't true. Those individuals should be arrested. I don't know why we haven't done that, at least. But most importantly, when President Trump is mentioned in the Epstein files, he is one of the originators to go out there and push back against Epstein and try to have police, West Palm Beach police, go out there and arrest the guy. He actually helped build their case against Jeffrey Epstein. So Jimmy Kimmel doesn't want to be honest because, again, it doesn't fit the narrative. He has to go out there and pretend like President Trump is a pedophile. But we all know that's false. When it comes to accusing someone of being a predator, I would accuse, in my opinion, of course, Jimmy Kimmel to be a pedophile. I would say that he's a predator. But again, they don't want to talk about these things. Their names will be dropped in all of these big groups, right? But they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to align themselves with it. We all know that they have stronger ties to Jeffrey Epstein than President Trump ever did. And of course, that's not fact. That's opinion, Jimmy. Just in case you want to go out there and make legal claims. These people are absolute demons. And this is what they do. They try to sit out there and push this false narrative. False narrative. You know, I've posted the video of Jimmy Kimmel being an absolute creep to a woman who is just like sitting outside trying to enjoy the day. And he's behind her trying to grab her butt. Again, that's more of a predator than I've ever seen President Trump do. He is creepy. He is so creepy. But again, he gets to keep his career. Why? Because he aligns with these deep state operatives. That's the key point to all of this. You have to be funny, to pull in an audience. You don't actually have to have a quality show. Just sit up there and keep telling the lies that we tell you to tell. And there wasn't a single thing in all of that that you just saw that was actually laughable. But this is why they are able to stay on air. This is exactly why. So moral of the story, screw Jimmy Kimmel. All right, let's pivot a little bit. DHS is dealing with a partial shutdown. I've been trying to warn you about this for quite some time. Again, I'm not someone who's a fan of DHS, specifically TSA. But when it comes to national security, yeah, that's the one thing the government's supposed to do. So any of the entities that promote that, which they tell you they do, but most of them don't. That's why I assume all the time. But specifically with TSA right now, a lot of their employees aren't being paid. And so it's resulting in those calling out. We'll get to that in a little second. But, you know, actually, let's dive into one of the reports that just came out. I'll tell you all about this. When it comes to the long TSA waits, there's a lot going on right now across the United States. They're warning flyers that you actually might have to deal with 3-hour TSA wait times. Now, I know that sounds absolutely insane, but that's what's going on right now at the airports. And of course, when you look through all of this, it's not really surprising. Because this is what Democrats wanted. They want to shut down DHS. And I don't know why. And I'm not going to blame it all on them because guess what? Republicans shouldn't have allowed DHS to be partially funded. I mean, that was stupid, right? Because now you're going to put yourself in a situation where ICE is going to be held hostage. And it's exactly what they're doing. They don't want to fund ICE. And because ICE falls under DHS, they're now doing this partial shutdown. Now, my advice to DHS and to TSA was just shut down all the airports. Don't let anyone in. That is the quickest way to get over with all of this, especially given the fact that we've just launched this war with Iran. You might want to fund DHS. You might want to fund those who are trying to keep the homeland safe. Because what you see is happening with TSA right now, well, TSA agents are calling out because they're not getting a paycheck. By the way, I think it's like the third time in the last 6 months that they've been held hostage in this shutdown. And again, I don't like TSA. It's also a little personal for me, of course, because I won my TSA lawsuit, which resulted in TSA now being forced to pay my legal fees. And they haven't paid back my lawyer. Why? Well, because they say they're in a partial shutdown. So they can't cough up the cash to pay my lawyer. My lawyer's a very nice guy. He should get his money. But again, it's one of the many layers to all of this. They want to keep this going. And actually, Wade Miller in Clip 7 does a great job at calling all of that out. Let's take a listen.
As we saw with Lyons' testimony in Congress about how cartels are targeting our federal agents, all it takes is one credible threat against them and to say, now, why do you want them to take their mask off? And that's why you're shutting down the government to make our troops, our federal agents, put them in danger. And, you know, if any catastrophe happens, FEMA's in a bind. We're not going to have the funds to be able to operate and to go in and do life-saving activities at scale. So I think that their position becomes very weak very quickly. And I think that the Trump administration knows that. And what they're basically going to say is, We just want to fund DHS at the levels that the Democrats have already approved previously. Why is this controversial? You want body cams? Fine. Like, we don't oppose body cams. But all of the rest of your arguments, it's political posturing. You're actually just trying to endanger our country. You're trying to endanger our federal agents. You're putting our national disaster preparedness at stake. You're putting our TSA security at risk, the Coast Guard. There's all sorts of operations that they are putting at risk. And why, again? Because you don't want the law enforced, and all of these negative externalities are now occurring because of it. You know, stop your baby-like whining, and let's be responsible and fund the government.
Yeah, I mean, Wade Miller's got it. He's got it. The reality of it is they're trying to hold DHS hostage, and I'm all on board. Get body cams. Let's fund it. Let's fund it. Because the vast majority of the time, I don't know why Democrats keep pushing for body cams, by the way. It doesn't weigh in the favor of their audience, their voters. It never does. It never does. And so, yeah, I'm all on board for this. In fact, I'd actually advocate for the FBI to have body cams. Those who are executing search warrants, but they always say, oh, we can't reveal our investigative steps that we take while we're executing warrants. I strongly disagree with that, especially given the fact that a lot of people have accused the FBI of planting evidence on them. Why not just show us? And even if you don't want to release it to the public, at least allow it to the courts. But again, it's one of the many layers of all of this. They are probably trying to push, and that's probably one of their main points, and I would 1,000% back it. Get DHS agents to wear body cam. It is completely fine. In fact, we saw when those two individuals were killed in Minnesota, we saw officers, agents pop out of the car and had to film from their phones. Now, by filming on their phones, one of those agents was actually able to prove the fact that, yeah, one of those left-wing terrorists actually did use their vehicle as a weapon. And thankfully, we have the footage to prove just that. So I'd give all these agents cameras. Now, the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, is actually condemning Democrats and all of this. And this is usually what they do, right? Strongly worded letters in clip 9. He's going out there and he's trying to go after them for the DHS shutdown. I blame Republicans just as much as Democrats. Take a listen now.
Mr. President, we are more than 3 weeks into the Democrats' DHS shutdown. And Democrats keep telling us that they're serious about funding this agency, but their actions speak louder than their words. Negotiations have been going now for well over a month. Democrats have sent two offers to the White House. Two offers that were basically the same. No compromise, no give and take, just take it or leave it. Then on Thursday, perhaps realizing that forcing tens of thousands of DHS employees to go without pay isn't great for their brand, Democrats made a new yet equally unserious proposal, and that is selectively funding certain DHS agencies. That's right. Democrats want to fund the parts of the Department of Homeland Security that they like and keep the rest shut down indefinitely. Now, Mr. President, this might come as news to Democrats, but the fact is that every part of the Department of Homeland Security is essential. As our colleague Senator Britt pointed out on Thursday, Democrats' plan would leave Homeland Security investigations in limbo. A lot of Americans might not know it, but Homeland Security investigations is responsible for some pretty serious law enforcement activities in this country. They look up child predators, drug dealers, terrorists. And then there's Customs and Border Protection, another agency that Democrats plan would leave in limbo. Now, most Americans interact with CBP officers when they come back to the United States from abroad. They're the people who check your passport. They're also the people who prevent illegal immigrants and contraband like drugs and weapons from crossing our borders and getting into our country. Under President Trump, and thanks to the hard work of these men and women, our borders secure. And illegal crossings have shrunk.
So John Thune telling the American people that every entity within DHS is essential. I'd argue against that. DHS obviously was created after 9/11, and it's become an absolute swamp. And we all saw what they did, especially CISA, when it came to censoring Americans because they just didn't like their messaging. So I'd probably do you fund it a little bit? But when it comes to those who are actually doing the job that they're supposed to, yeah, we could definitely fund that. Folks, I want to pivot a little bit and take you to clip 19 because I was talking about this before. I saw that Lindsey Graham interview on Fox yesterday, and I couldn't believe what he had to say in regards to sending more Americans to the Middle East to die. Take a listen.
Up to our allies, step up, get our air bases out of Spain. They're not reliable. Move all those airplanes to a country that would let us use them when we're threatened by a regime like Iran. To our friends in Spain, man, you have lost your way. I don't want to do business with you anymore. I want our air bases out of Spain into a country that will let us use them. To our Arab friends, I've tried to help you construct a new Mideast. You need to up your game here. I can't go to South Carolina and say we're fighting and you won't publicly fight. What you're doing behind the scenes, that has to stop. The double dealing of the Arab world when it comes to this stuff needs to end. I go back to South Carolina. I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast. What I want you to do in the Mideast to our friends in Saudi Arabia and other places, step forward and say, this is my fight, too. I join America. I'm publicly involved in bringing this regime down. If you don't, you're making a great mistake, and you're going to cut off the ability to have a better relationship with the United States. I say this as a friend.
He says it from a position of power, folks. He is challenging the president in all of this. And I don't even think the president even sees it. He sees himself as the leader. He's telling these countries they have to speak to him. Who the heck does Lindsey Graham think he is? I'm just going to keep echoing that. I don't understand how emboldened this man has become. What is going on right now in the White House that has that guy thinking that he could go out there and pretend to be the president of the United States? Imagine a time where President Trump allows him to do just that. This is the problem. And then people know that he's the gatekeeper for the White House. And guess what they do? These countries will kneel to him. He's going out there and meeting with world leaders. Why? Because he's posturing himself as somebody who has pull within the White House. You can't allow people like this to exist. You can't allow Lindsey Graham to get away with this. You can't just sit here and pretend like that's acceptable. By the way, he's going to go back to South Carolina and tell people to keep bringing their kids in to the military so that he could sacrifice them to the Middle East, the bloodshed. The endless bloodshed. It's not going to end anytime soon. It's not going to end in any of our lifetimes. But that's exactly what Lindsey Graham is trying to do. And it's pretty disgusting. And again, the White House not questioning any of this. But this is how it happens. You have to go through Lindsey Graham if you want anything to happen at the White House, apparently. All right, I want to talk about this. I don't know if you saw this. Over the weekend, there was a J6 plaque that was put up right now in Congress. I was detailing it for folks online over the weekend. And this is it. This is it. Obviously, it's brought to you by all the weak men and women, a part of the Republican Party. But it's also full of, you know what? This is absolute garbage, right? Because why would you need a plaque for what happened on January 6th put up? We all know it was manufactured by the deep state operatives, again, who are controlling these institutions, the intel community. They wanted what happened. They wanted all of that. That's the exact reason why they won't give you specific details. They won't turn over specific documents. It's the reason why the J6 committee deleted everything before they departed. Because it was all a setup. But now these losers in the Senate, by the way, that plaque was backed by guess who? John Thune, who's apparently your Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, and John Roll, please, John Cornyn. They all 100% supported it. In fact, they were also against President Trump pardoning J6ers. Absolute scumbags. What losers these people are. Such losers. Folks, there was a CIA document that has been brought back to the surface. It's a declassified document from February of 1951. And it reveals, it's a very detailed report, I would tell you that. I posted the actual document itself to my Twitter account if you'd like to look at that. But it reveals that the CIA was aware that there was a potential cure for cancer. Now get this, it maps out, it doesn't directly say ivermectin, so just to be as transparent as possible, it doesn't say that, but obviously ivermectin is used to go after parasites, and it details how that type of drug could be utilized to treat cancerous tumors. Now you've heard this conspiracy before, so again, this has been going on since 1951, the research done behind all of this. They say that the chemical compounds target both parasites and tumors effectively. So this is the interesting part in all of this. Because why? Because ivermectin, now again, I think ivermectin came around to be used on humans in 1970-ish. Don't quote me on that. But they've been telling us for quite some time that ivermectin cannot be used to treat cancer. Why? Because it's cheap. I want to briefly play this clip, clip 11 for you, that details how one doctor is using it to push back and to help cancer patients. Let's take a listen.
Cancer is no longer a death sentence. I'm Dr. William Mackis, a Canadian physician, board certified in nuclear medicine, radiology, and oncology. I run the world's largest ivermectin cancer clinic. Over the past 2 years, I've helped over 6,500 cancer patients with repurposed drugs like ivermectin, mebendazole, and fenbendazole. Chemotherapy can be very difficult on cancer patients, and some cancer patients really can't even handle chemotherapy. But those who can, they can really enhance their results by adding ivermectin. Over the past year, having treated over 6,000 cancer patients, there have been some incredible stories. We had a prostate cancer patient who was diagnosed with stage 4. You know, everybody knew it was a terminal case. The patient got an appointment with an oncologist. The best they were going to get was a palliative chemo to give them maybe a couple of extra months of life. But in Canada, at the same time, the patient also got an appointment for MAID, which stands for Medical Assistance in Dying. It's euthanasia. One of the family members got very upset at this and so started the patient on fenbendazole, which is almost identical to mebendazole. And then they added ivermectin to it as well. And after about 4 or 5 months, this patient that hadn't gone for their appointment for euthanasia became cancer-free. They went from stage 4 pancreatic cancer to being cancer-free. And so this was a life saved, and not just saved, but a patient who had really beaten cancer. In January of this year, Mel Gibson was on Joe Rogan's podcast and started talking about some of his friends who had stage 4 cancer and who were really in bad shape.
I have 3 friends. All 3 of them had stage 4 cancer. All 3 of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
They took some, what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fenbendazole.
Yeah, I'm hearing that a lot.
And for those Americans who are looking for an affordable treatment, this should be available over the counter now. Unfortunately, the FDA has not done what they should be doing. But on a state level, yes, you can buy ivermectin over the counter. We just need the FDA to do this damn job.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first 4 guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th, at theelectionstore.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.